Hello and welcome to Walt Love Podcasting. On today's episode, we're going to be discussing the future and past and present of the famous Epcot Park at Walt Disney World. This is going to be a two-parter, with today's part discussing just the World Showcase. Today, you're joined by Brett Schmoofy on Twitter, along with
Josh, EZWW.com, a great site, and Mike with BlogMickey.com.
So like I said, today's episode, we're going to focus mainly on the future of Epcot, but we're going to cut this into two parts. So this will specifically be the World Showcase part of the discussion. Topics today are going to include, of course, you know, new fireworks, new attractions, what's already happened to World Showcase in the last few years, and why we think things are going to work or not work, and we may throw a few surprises in there.
We might also not, though.
Yeah. We'll probably start talking about alcohol at some point as well, and any of you can stop us at any time. Just hit that pause button below, leave a 4-star review, and say, please stop. So, what's first up on the agenda for talk about?
Well, I don't think we can talk about World Showcase without talking about what happens in the middle of the lagoon at night with Illuminations, which is going away September 30th.
September 30th is the final day. And then the day after, on October 1st, Epcot's birthday, will premiere the interim Epcot Forever show while they finish working on whatever brand new show that's going to replace the replacement show.
So this is a pretty interesting concept that they're introducing an interim show instead of the replacement. So when we saw Wishes go away, we had Wishes one night, we had a Happily Ever After the next night, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what are they doing over in Epcot that's going to take them anywhere from, I would guess, a few months to maybe a year or more?
I think that they're going to remove the barges. I mean, when the barges go out there, they get anchored in and they work off a lot of just being in the lagoon. It looks like the concept art with the new show, at least, that the barges are just floating in and out. So they may be redoing the entire infrastructure for how the system works for a new show. I mean, if you're talking about a show that they're touting is going to be bigger and badder than Illuminations, you're going to need to really, really add some cool stuff out there.
So we've already seen some work taking place out in the lagoon in the form of basically running electrical to a new substation out on a island near the Japan Pavilion. And then from there, they've run the electrical into the middle of the lagoon to four different endpoints, basically. What they end up doing with those endpoints or what they end up doing with the electrical that's run out there, we still don't know yet. It's likely based off of concept art that they'll be turning those into projection water screens. So we've seen the work already starting for what I'm assuming is going to be the Epcot Forever replacement. So not the Illuminations replacement, but the Epcot Forever replacement. I don't think that the work that's taking place in the lagoon right now is for Epcot Forever.
I think it's probably both. I think that they're trying to get down what they can do for both at the first. Right now, before the show Illuminations officially ends, what can they get in place that would work for Epcot Forever and also work for whatever the future show is? Two birds, one stone it. And then once Epcot Forever is up and running, start working on stuff for the new show out there. Because, I mean, you have a fireworks show that's performed once a night, every night at the same time, except for Food and Wine Festival times. That's 9:30 on the weekends. So you're able to really do a lot of construction in the evening hours. There's really no fluctuation where, like, Magic Kingdom will sometimes close at 8 o'clock or sometimes it'll close at 1 a.m. Epcot is always either that 9 or 9:30, pending extra magic hours timeframes.
Josh doesn't agree with your representation of the facts.
No, it's 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. on the weekends.
Is it 10?
Yeah, and it's 9:30 during December because of...
Oh, it is. Disregard. I don't know Epcot. Epcot is actually my least favorite park in the world that's named Epcot. Okay, so with the parks closing at different hours, I'm sorry. It's still not a huge fluctuation like it would be with Magic Kingdom. They still have 10, 12 hours sometimes. Magic Kingdom sometimes has like 6 hours between park close and park open.
Sure, sure.
But I mean, you're talking about all this work. They're in backstage area where they do the docking procedures for Illuminations. That's a relatively small area back there as well. So if they're trying to do the current floats for Illuminations, load them up every night, and then try working on a brand new show at the same time, there's not a lot of space to work with back there unless they expand that dock. And quite honestly, they would need to probably expand the lake deck there too or do something about it because it's just not that big. You could check it out on Google Maps. It fits what's there and that's it.
Yeah, I don't think that the new show is going to have to rely on any of the barges or anything like that. As far as the official verbiage is concerned, it's going to be lighting, lasers, fireworks, and choreographed special effects kites. This is for Epcot Forever. So we're going to see jet skis out there. Two people on the jet skis. We're going to have one driver, one passenger flying this choreographed kite. I don't think that we're going to see the infrastructure being used, that is the barges or any of the new infrastructure that's being built there. I don't think that we're going to see that used for Epcot Forever. I think they're really, this is going to be a long build out for the eventual long-term Illuminations replacement that we're expecting to debut in 2020.
Illuminations has been around since the dawn of time, it feels, at this point. Kind of like how Wishes ran its course with Walt Disney World, Illuminations, it is the perfect end cap to Epcot, but it needs to glow away. I don't know. I mean, so far they revealed some imagery about this future Epcot show they did at D23, I believe, 2 years ago, that this imagery was going to feature characters in World Showcase Lagoon. Are characters the right way to finish off Epcot in the evening?
I don't know. Josh, what are your thoughts on Illuminations, current Illuminations?
Reflections of Earth has a solid message. The music is beautiful. It's nicely choreographed. People really seem to enjoy it. It's a nice punctuation point to end the evening. Certainly, something new on the horizon is smart. I wonder if Epcot Forever was always in the pipeline. We should mention that the way this was announced was via the Disney Parks blog well in advance. How long ago did they announce it? 5 or 6 months ago?
Something like that, yeah.
So how the Walt Disney Company works is probably another podcast, but it's not uncommon for public relations to announce something without anybody else knowing what's going on. So I'm not sure if Epcot Forever is a shoehorned thing, or if you think they were always planning some... I mean, what's the point of Epcot Forever? Why not just run Illuminations or Reflections of Earth for another 6, 7, 8 months while they're working on the infrastructure for the new show?
I feel it's to basically please the fanboys. The show has been running forever, and the next few years are supposedly going to be some major, major changes for Epcot, which... who knows what it means, but they've already removed energy. Imagination is in shambles. Test Track is trash. They, I don't want to say destroyed Norway, but really changed how it worked overall. So I think this is really just to make the fanboys happy. They said it's going to be classic Epcot music and...
but it's not. The fanboys want Illuminations, Reflections of Earth. They don't want some interim show. They want to see what they know and love, and then they want to see the next show that they want to know and love even more. A throwback, like an improvement over Illuminations. The similar music, but maybe a more grand spectacle, something worthy of Epcot's message. And I'm not sure what Epcot Forever is going to accomplish, unless they're trying to bring people in between. It's something to sell. It's a new show to sell, mm-hmm. because Epcot isn't going to be adding anything while Hollywood Studios is obviously adding Galaxy's Edge. Ratatouille is still a ways off. Guardians of the Galaxy is a ways off. So when I made the PR comment, this could just be a PR move, but I think it will keep a lot more people in the park through closing because they want to see something new. Is a, you know, I don't usually stay for Illuminations, but I would certainly stay for Epcot Forever a couple of times to see a new show.
Mm-hmm.
And if you stayed for Illuminations recently, you've probably noticed how easy it is to waltz up to a spot close to Illumination starting time and get a good view of the show, which has always been a nice part of that experience. Unlike a Fantasmic, unlike a Happily Ever After, it's an easy show to see, and Epcot Forever is something new that they're going to be able to market. I'm not sure what our expectations are. I don't know if it'll be an improvement. I'm not sure how you would rate it necessarily.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is you can't say, oh, this is a great show that's perfect for the future of Epcot, because it's not built to last. Like, this Epcot Forever isn't going to be around forever, which I guess is the ironic part of the naming of it. It seems like Epcot Forever is a nice eulogy to the park, to be honest. I mean, right?
A proper eulogy will hypothetically include a piece on Earth.
Yeah, we're gonna get a piece on Earth tag for
tag.
Yeah. No, we are. Yeah, they've said that there's gonna be a piece on Earth tag for Epcot Forever. But it seems like a eulogy to the to Epcot that's now been dead for quite some time, and they finally decided, okay, let's give Epcot a proper send off in the end of 2019 into 2020 as the park radically transforms. You know, we're looking at a transformation of the entrance. We're looking at a transformation of Future World that we're going to talk about on a separate podcast. But that's what Epcot Forever to me feels like. It feels like were either you guys around for the ending of Illuminations for the 35th anniversary when they played the pavilion music?
Yeah, they did the same thing for the 30th and the 25th as well.
Exactly. So I feel like that's kind of what we're expecting for Epcot Forever in terms of musical accompaniment, perhaps, but originally scored.
I like the idea that it's a eulogy.
I think that's what it is, to be honest. I mean,
it's humorous and funny to think about it that way, but it really makes sense, and it's really probably a proper send-off.
Because then with this permanent replacement that we're expecting in 2020, the concept art and video that came out of, was it D23?
It might have been D23. It might have been,
I think it was,
the fall.
What was the...
The Mickey Mouse celebration last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's what it was. But some of the imagery that came out of that was water screen projections of characters.
Moana specifically.
And Pocahontas, I believe, as well.
Mm-hmm.
But something that's very different compared to what Illuminations is. So I think Epcot Forever really is going to function really well as a eulogy to the park as it transforms into something that's got Frozen in Norway and it's got Ratatouille in France. And who knows what else is coming to the pavilions to make them more character driven.
So Epcot will be reborn as a theme park you want to go to.
It'll be reborn. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. No, it'll be reborn, and whether or not we want to go there still remains to be seen.
We should rename it.
Okay. What do you want to name it?
Trash Park.
They're listening. Oh, okay.
I took somebody, gave him a ride home the other night from
That's not weird.
Yeah, I know, right? I do Uber and Lyft, sorry. From Epcot, and he was like, I love the fireworks show. I love the dumpster fire in the middle. So, I mean, besides that, so we got this new show that's going to tie all World Showcase in together. Like we said, World Showcase has already been touched. We have Frozen Ever After, replaced Maelstrom. We have the Summer Hoofs next door with an Anna and Elsa meet and greet. Mm-hmm. Frozen did great things for the Norway Pavilion. As much as everybody hates Frozen at this point, the attraction's fun. It pulls a decent line. The meet and greet is well thought out. It looks great. It's historically relevant, I believe. I'm not an expert in Norway culture or history. I know some trolls, and I enjoy Aquavit and Troll Cream every now and then, but that's it. Akershus, whatever. But, I mean, the characters did a really good thing for an attraction that was really lacking. You have the characters that were added to Grand Fiesta Tour, which was previously El Rio de Tiempo. And, I mean, the three Caballeros animatronics and everything else added to that is great. The characters work so well, and not one person walks out and goes, oh, I wish I learned the true history of Mexico and didn't see characters. You just see that on their Twitter feed later. But they have a smile on their face when they're in the park. Nobody cares.
It's true.
You don't have an 8-year-old going in there being like, oh, man, I wish I was able to see the River of Time. No.
Nobody's asking for the Norway, what is that, the theater at the end of Maelstrom? No one's asking for that back.
No. Asterisk that. I know there are exactly 5 of you listening to this podcast who want that theater back. You're allowed to have that
opinion. They're probably all driving from Tennessee to Epcot in the same automobile right now.
Listening to this being like, I'm going to come find them and I'm going to teach them a lesson.
Please do.
So, I mean, adding Ratatouille to France-tatouille. Please kill me. Ratatouille, I mean, everything I've ever heard about the attraction looks great, but it's absolutely trash, which makes it fit into Epcot great.
It's not trash. It's a fine ride. Right, Mike?
It's an okay ride. It's not trash. If you ever go to a Walt Disney Studios park, chances are you're going to find a lot more enjoyment out of Crush's Coaster or something like that. I had, I guess, maybe perhaps relatively high expectations for Ratatouille when I first rode it in Paris that were not immediately shattered, but it was okay. I could think of a few things that need to happen to the attraction in order for it to be a great addition to Epcot. As it stands right now, it's going to be a good addition. You're going to have people coming in from the International Gateway. They're going to be rope dropping Ratatouille. It's a fun little ride. Some of the complaints that I had was the lack of a motion base on the actual ride vehicle itself. So while everything else was moving on the screens around you, you were statically sitting there, the same as I'm sitting on this couch right now, watching the screen bounce and the scenes bounce while you were not. And then there was the screens themselves, which were, I guess, ineloquently blended into the cement floor beneath them, so that it was not anywhere near the immersive experience that I was hoping that it would be, as something that was built by New Age Imagineering, or the same guys that are, you know, coming up with something like Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, which is, you know, by all counts, something that's an immersive, enjoyable experience. This was an okay ride. Was it trash? No, but it wasn't great either. So needless to say, I came out of the ride the first time that I rode it and wasn't exactly excited for what was coming to Epcot. That said, it's better than any other attraction that's in France right now.
Are we talking about the actual like country of France, or are we talking about the pavilion?
Yeah, everything.
Well, Impressions to France is a pavilion. Fantastic attraction. And we have been told that will be replaced by a Beauty and the Beast sing-along?
Well, we've been told that it will play alongside Impressions de France.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I don't think
it replaces it.
No, not necessarily.
Maybe eventually it will.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's, again, more characters. Mm-hmm. Throw them in.
So when you visit in 20... Go ahead.
But going back to our last podcast with Disney adding Beauty and the Beast to the Grand Floridian, mm-hmm. people go to Disney World to experience Disney. And so they want to see these things. And what's going to happen with France and with Impressions is that if they do it every other show, people are going to come up and ask when the sing-along is. And they're going to say, well, it's after Impressions. You can watch Impressions and then watch Beauty and the Beast. Or you can come back in a half an hour or 45 minutes. And they're just going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually they're going to find out that there's only 18 people for Impressions and there's 300 people for the sing-along, and they're going to have to retire that show sooner rather than later.
All this at the same time that they're giving updates to both the China and Canadian shows, right?
But with Ratatouille is going to be bringing even more kids and even more interest mm-hmm. back into that pavilion. So now you're going to have 2,000, 2,500 people, maybe Ratatouille is 1,500 an hour.
Perhaps. It's nice. It's a trackless ride that eats through people, it seemed like, when we were there.
So you're going to have 2,500 people moving through there, 1,000 people in line, 1,500 people moving through, 2,500 people back there that now want to do this Beauty and the Beast sing-along, and you're going to tell them, well, you can watch this 17-minute video mm-hmm. about them releasing the dogs on Bastille Day, a great holiday,
mm-hmm.
to our neighbor Jacques. But I also wonder how Ratatouille, the ride, the kitchen adventure, whether it will be seen as a secondary attraction. In France, it's obviously one of many rides in a small area. Sort of thing.
Yeah. There are a lot. You can get to Toy Story Land, the Toy Story Playland right there. That's three attractions. Crusher's Coaster is just steps away. So yeah, it's its own little mini land in France, over in Disneyland Paris. But I would say that mini land there may even be smaller than what we end up getting behind the France Pavilion.
And so at Epcot, it's going to be sort of on its own island. Mm-hmm. There isn't another ride until you get to Norway. There isn't another ride until you get to the Imagination Pavilion. And that'll probably open before Guardians, you'd have to assume.
Yeah, I think that'll open sometime...
Early 2021?
No. I think it might even be slated for 2020.
Okay.
Maybe even with the possibility of us watching Epcot Forever at the same time that we're able to ride Ratatouille.
Okay.
I think it's pretty far along. Remember, it's a clone. It's not something that they have to, you know... build and construct and do something that they haven't done before, like Guardians.
Well, it's too bad they aren't pushing the envelope moving forward like Pirates in Shanghai is the next iteration of this sort of ride system. If mm-hmm. it does turn out to be a clone, if it does turn out to have all of these perceived issues and they just build the exact same thing like they did with Under the Sea in Magic Kingdom, they built that knowing that in California it wasn't a particularly popular ride, they still didn't decide to do something else when they had the opportunity. So I'm not sure what Walt Disney Company was thinking when they took a so-so ride and said, let's just do the exact same thing. People don't know the difference.
Yeah, I have no idea. Like I said, when I first wrote it, if I would have gotten off of that and thought that it was going to be a great addition to Epcot, I'd be singing its praises, but...
And that's the mainstream thought, is that it's just okay.
Yeah, I don't think that I'm veering very far from what's mainstream on this, and I think that that's...
I love how I didn't hear any complaints about this attraction until it was announced for Epcot, though.
Yes, well, you might not have. But I mean, they were certainly there. Yeah. Anybody who's ever ridden it has said...
Yeah, I don't think that it debuted to very much. I mean, maybe it debuted to positivity when it first came out, but then as it continued and didn't really separate itself as something like a Pirates in Shanghai or something like, you know, a Pooh's Honey Hunt in Tokyo or something that's great.
We're not even getting the restaurant.
We're not even getting the restaurant, which is probably the best part of the whole entire land there.
We are getting a crêperie.
Yes.
Operated by a Seattle crêperie.
Very authentic? Nice. Are they good? Have you been?
Well, they're, as far as Seattle crepes go, they're above average. can't get more French than Seattle, Washington, I've said for a long time. I'm sure they'll be good, you know, using Florida water. Maybe they can tap into the Via Napoli's water supply to get the perfect pH level for bread.
Yeah. But no, I think, but at the same time, I say that, but I think that it'll still do really well because it's, again, it's a kid's attraction and something that is not a kid's park. And I think that for families, it's going to do really well. It's a huge attraction that'll be fun for families in a section of the park that was dead for families before. I mean,
the part that kills me is it's taking up the expansion plot between Morocco and France.
Yeah, it is. It's mostly built. You'll access it by going behind the current France Pavilion, but where the ride show building is actually on the expansion pad between Morocco and France, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, same with they did with the Sommerhus in Norway. They killed the expansion pad between Mexico and Norway to put this up. So now all these expansion pads, we're now missing two of them. So the chances to expand Epcot World Showcase
go from zero to zero.
That's the thing, is like, are we expecting a new country anytime soon? I know that we were talking and whispering about France, or not France, about Brazil for the longest time.
Spain has always been on the...
Right? Those are things that have always been kind of in the back of a lot of people's minds, but do they have to build out an entire brand new country, or can they just do this where they're kind of taking a country that maybe is lackluster and expanding it, and that's good enough?
Well, they're 5 years too late on Brazil.
Right, yeah.
Maybe their economy will recover in a decade. Maybe they'll lower taxes on travel. Mm-hmm. Maybe somebody will want to go to a Churrasaca when they go to Epcot. I don't know. Mm. But the Ratatouille ride is smart. That location is an intelligent spot because it is going to pull a lot more people back into that area, which will keep them in the park longer. It'll get them walking by more snack stands and...
Mm-hmm.
So it's an intelligent move. It is supposed to be a clone. It would certainly be nice if they surprise us.
Mm-hmm.
And they certainly could.
A motion-based ride vehicle. Let's start there. I'd love that.
Yeah.
But you're right. There are going to be a lot more people in this section of the park because that's exactly where the Skyliner is going to be dumping, right? They're going to have all these new resorts that are on the Skyliner now. And right there at International Gateway is where all these people are going to be dumped. And it's a very, very short walk from there, as opposed to having to trek across Epcot to get to Frozen Ever After or to get to the front of the park in Future World.
Well, from a touring perspective, once Ratatouille opens, it'll be interesting to see how that crowd flow changes. When Frozen opened, it was the big ticket.
Mm-hmm.
At least 65% of the people at Rope Drop were headed all the way back to Frozen. Now you've added another intelligent location for them to go. Probably become the top Fast Pass Plus priority at Epcot, I would guess. It will be nice to be able to put that off for the afternoon if you can, because there's no way you're going to want to hike from the main entrance all the way back to France. That's at least 15 minutes.
Yeah.
but, if not 20 minutes, and then have to huff all the way back, because it's certainly going to open at park open. Like,
well, France does right now.
Like, true.
Yeah.
The bakery.
That's an correct. Interesting yeah. idea, too. I mean, opening at the park open. Do we feel that their overall goal with the expansion of Epcot, with this refurbishment, is to have the entire park open all day long?
Wouldn't that be something? A concept to have the entire park open all day long?
Am I crazy? I don't think so. Because if they did, they would keep World Showcase open later, which is where the money is. It's Easter week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Christmas. They still close that thing at 9 p.m. If they cared about increasing hours, they would close it at 10 on the weekends, because there's a lot more people buying beer, present company excluded, yes. at 10 p.m. than there is at 9 a.m. So they don't want to have to pay to keep Morocco open from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. It's never going to happen. There's nobody in Morocco at 2 p.m. There's not going to be anybody in there at 10 a.m.
But is it a ridiculous concept to have the entire park open when people walk in the morning? Ask Muppet Vision
3D.
They closed at 6 yesterday.
It closes at 6 every day.
Yeah.
Park is open until 8:30. They close at 6. Every day. I couldn't even get into the Muppet store back there. It was already closed. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. But it's still not a ridiculous concept to have the park open when they say the whole park... Like if you've never been to Epcot before, you get there at 9 a.m. You're like, oh boy, I can't wait to walk back to Germany to get myself not a beer, of course, but a jumbo pretzel.
Sure.
Give me a big Jimmy Dean breakfast sausage in Germany.
Like, yeah,
of course. Do me breakfast pot stickers in China. I'll take Don't a breakfast give them any pizza ideas. At Via Napoli, no. in yes. Italy. Yeah, breakfast pizza right no. there.
America. Opening August 29th. Breakfast pizza.
Perfect. America needs a table service restaurant. You're telling me that a breakfast all day long Goofy's Kitchen style restaurant wouldn't do good there? You're adding characters in, do a table service, theme it to Goofy, and serve me pancakes and Mickey waffles all day long.
The amount of people who are so confused when they're stopped at China and they say, oh no, that's Epcot still over there, right? This isn't, I'm not walking back into the parking lot. No, that's the rest of the park. They're stopped at China at 9:45 a.m. after they've rope dropped Frozen, and said, oh no, this part of the park doesn't open for another 2 hours.
Breakfast sushi.
Brushi.
No, people get confused at this point. People get confused walking into the park itself, but telling them that at a certain country is the stopping grounds, and then telling them that, oh yeah, in 90 minutes, this is no longer a stopping ground.
Yeah. And yeah, it's ridiculous to me, but, without putting, so now we've got Frozen at one dead end, right? That opens at 9 a.m. with the park. Mm-hmm. Presumably you'll have Ratatouille at the other dead end that opens at 9 a.m. with the park.
Right.
There's still nothing to do in between those two attractions on the back half of World Showcase.
Did I not just say breakfast pizza?
You did. But until that becomes a reality.
Patina, if you are listening, I know you're not.
They almost certainly are.
If you are. I take back what I said about Italian restaurants at Disney Springs. Please respond to my emails.
But there's still nothing to do in that back half, so maybe they won't open it. Maybe they'll be like, yeah, no.
Well, I mean, no. Nothing to do right now. Let's not open it
until 2. Nobody wants to even be there anyways.
No.
We'll go ride Ratatouille. We'll go ride Frozen. You can just... Maybe that's the next expansion pad, is all those countries that nobody visits anyways.
Just turn that into a...
Whatever you want.
Yeah.
And you can turn it into another people mover to move people between Ratatouille and Frozen Ever After. You can skip the rest of it.
Mike, you have a rumor from 2017 stating that Brazil was coming to World Showcase.
Oh, yeah. That was the prevailing thought. And I don't think I think as far as countries that are being seriously looked at next, I think Brazil is at the top of that list. But like Josh just said, their economy is not doing so hot recently.
You don't build new pavilions based on how the economy is doing in 2019, but they don't need another pavilion. There's nobody is not going to Epcot because there isn't the Spain pavilion.
Yeah, and I don't think many people are worried about the fact that there's, you know, a playset train in between Germany and Italy and not an entire full-fledged country.
Well, look at it like this. Epcot, the popular restaurants are always popular. They're always going to be busy. Ohana is always slammed, and it's comparable to a Brazilian steakhouse. Very comparable to that. If you add in a country of Brazil, you add in an up themed attraction because South America, and we'll figure it out somehow, it works. And then you add in another Ohana Brazilian steakhouse style restaurant, but give four times the amount of seats as Ohana. That seems like a win-win-win.
Yeah, but I think that they're more worried about finishing up their current projects first. You get Ratatouille out the door, you get Guardians out the door, you get the Epcot Future World overhaul out the door, which will be the next podcast.
Yeah.
And then maybe you revisit that idea.
Okay, so they're going to touch other pavilions first. Well, we already talked about they're touching the shows. So they have announced that they are changing. Previously, they only announced that they were changing China. And then last year, they announced that they are changing Canada as well. So there's two new Circle Vision shows. The Circle Vision 360 is not going away. In fact, it will be returning, but it'll be seamless. That's going to be interesting in itself.
A true Circle Vision.
A true Circle Vision. So that's exciting. But they're redeveloping these pavilions, these relatively large theaters that can be used for a dark ride.
I was going to say, you have to think that if they actually care about redoing a video, that they couldn't care less about putting in a new country.
I don't know. It's weird. It feels like whatever plans they have for the future of Epcot, there's like two sides. And one side is we need to redevelop what we already have. And the other side is, I wonder if we can fit John Carter in World Showcase. How about the new Japanese restaurant, that signature table service restaurant that's coming, that they've said roughly four things about, and that's it?
Do we need a third table service restaurant in Japan? Or is it third?
They have Tappanetto, they have Tokyo Dining, Katsura Grill is quick.
That's quick service, so we'll have four places to eat in a pivot. That's what's wrong with Epcot, man.
Plus, they have the Kabuki Cafe with sushi and the snow cones. Yep. And they have the Garden House Sake Bar, sake bar inside Mitsukoshi, and there's the place, the little carts to buy snacks outside the department store, and there's all the food inside of the department store.
And it is a department store, isn't it? It's bland.
Mitsukoshi? That's
what's wrong with Epcot.
There's too many restaurants.
Epcot's a bar with a high cover charge. That's it. I know you spent $120 to get into the park today, but we need you to spend $120 more in order to feel like you had a good day.
And even if you go on Living with the Land, it's just a boat ride around food, trying to make you hungry.
Exactly.
No wonder they built that ride.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine that this would appeal to young adults and or children. And I think that's what Disney's most concerned about, is what is the next generation looking at? Whereas, I guess, generations ago, they were cool with the idea of the edutainment and Epcot, how it was, but the next generation isn't going to care about that sort of stuff.
The next generation is not really concerned with that. You're right. The next generation is more concerned about how can I, you know, stretch my dollar? What's the best value here? And great, you're coming to Disney. You know you're going to get, you know, ripped off. Things are going to be higher priced. It's $4.50 for a bottle of Dasani right now. But these people, they're not looking at spending $80 on a lobster steak combo at a signature Japanese steakhouse. They're looking at those roller dogs that are $2 for $2.49 at the Speedway near Magic Kingdom.
Are you talking about yourself?
I think in the interest of full disclosure, we should not make that sound like it was third-party reference.
Yeah,
Yeah. So those roller dogs.
But
$2 for $2.49.
But Disney would disagree with you. As we've talked about in the last couple of podcasts, that Disney is trying to raise prices. They want you to spend all of your money, even ignoring the fact that they had the most popular restaurant at Walt Disney World 5, 6, 7 years ago would have been Le Cellier, and they changed that to become a signature restaurant just for dinner, and they thought that was going okay, so they made it a signature restaurant during lunch and dinner. And now it's arguably the least popular restaurant, or at least the easiest restaurant to get a reservation for. It's the one restaurant that they put, if you search for Epcot restaurants, it's in alphabetical order, except for Le Cellier, which is at the very top, because nobody wants to eat there anymore because it's so expensive. Yet, they're still building new restaurants, but as we've discussed before, Japan is operated by a third party, so they obviously have to get approval to build a restaurant, but if they're fronting the money for it, and they're going to pay the rent on it, and they're going to give Disney a cut on it, there isn't necessarily any downside for them allowing Japan to do this.
No, not at all. I think it's also interesting to note the third-party notations here, because Canada is ran by Disney. All the Canada Pavilion.
Mm-hmm.
UK Pavilion is ran by Disney. France is not. France, the restaurants, are ran by...
the Bocuse.
So, not Disney.
Right. And I assume probably why they're not getting the guests, the France, the Ratatouille restaurant, Gusteau? Yeah. Is that what it's called?
Gusteau's. Or Chef Remy.
So that's probably the reason, because they couldn't come to an agreement. They didn't want to pay the licensing cost, or it was never on the table. Any of those are possible, but that's the reason why you have Spice Road Table at Morocco. It's third party.
Yep, all Morocco's third party.
So Disney doesn't care if you don't want to go to Spice Road. They don't do much to market it. And it's why when you're reading like the Disney Parks blog Bites, you only hear about what's going on to Le Cellier's new lunch menu or something. Why they're not promoting these other things is because unless they get paid for it, it's a pretty goofy system.
It is. It's weird. I mean, I'm not confident. I assume our listeners would know that all of Walt Disney World is not ran by Disney. But in Epcot, Morocco is not Disney. Japan is not Disney. American Adventure is Disney. Italy is not Disney. Germany is Disney. The African Outpost is Disney. China is not Disney. Norway is Disney. Mexico is not Disney.
Right.
So out of all the pavilions, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? 5 of 11 that are actually Disney?
Mm-hmm.
So less than half of World Showcase is owned and operated by Disney, the restaurants and likeness. So when you're talking about any potential future restaurants or future investments in World Showcase, Disney needs to look at what is only best for them, but what's best for everybody else there. Because is the third party who's running Mexico going to be happy if a new pavilion comes up or a new restaurant overtakes the Odyssey that starts selling cuisines from all around World Showcase, including Mexican cuisine? Right. They're not going to be so happy. And I'm sure there's some contracts, and I'm confident there's a lot of red tape around what can actually happen at Epcot and World Showcase in general.
Of all the concepts that could work, like a high-end Japanese restaurant with like a... in my mind, I envision this being like a really neat restaurant. A lot of reds, a lot of water, a lot of...
I'm hoping it's like... remember the Freaky Friday remake with Lindsay Lohan?
No.
No, okay.
I don't think I'm speaking for everyone when I say no.
Okay, so... but you think of these restaurants and you think of a lot of... you said open water, the dark reds, upscale.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it's not a lot of tables. I want it to be maybe 40, 50 tables max.
It's not a giant space, is it?
It's not that big, unless they got rid of the old warehouse room back down there.
Yeah.
But even at that point, I think the smaller the better here, especially if you're talking about a signature location. You don't want it to be Our Guest big, but again, you don't also want it to be Le Cellier small.
Well, I wonder how high-end. Japan is obviously famous for very high-end beef. I wonder, is there going to be like a $500 steak on the menu? Like Morimoto has a steak, A5 Wagyu, that's $27 an ounce. Yachtsman is a 5 ounce for $125 already on the menu. I would guess this is going to eclipse both of those price points, that there's going to be like a high-end steak menu where it's 25 an ounce, 35 an ounce, 45 an ounce. And with the amount of convention traffic, maybe they will specifically be trying to get some of those high-end vice president, president types of people into that restaurant. Maybe that's part of the goal of this project. Like, I wonder if we're going to be able to afford to get in the door.
Well, you're going to need to break out that blogger wallet. So, yeah, I mean, Japan's getting another table service. I'm moot to it at this point. Whatever. If they want to add another table service, bring it on. If any of the other pavilions want to add some more stuff, bring it on. It's only a matter of time before we're just a year-round food and wine festival. And what's the point of having a food and wine festival if every day is food and wine festival?
Well, it's an interesting point. And I wonder if we're actually going to see the opposite of that with the introduction of Guardians and the introduction of Ratatouille, if Festival of the Arts is a means to increase attendance early in the year, and something they won't necessarily need to do after Ratatouille opens, after Guardians of the Galaxy opens, after New Illuminations opens. Will they still spend the time and money to do Festival of the Arts if they have major attractions doing the heavy lifting for them already?
Certainly when Guardians of the Galaxy comes online, you would think that that park would be filled to the brim as it is. I mean, you look at Food and Wine. Obviously, I don't think that we're saying that Food and Wine is going to go away anytime soon. Maybe Festival of the Arts or something that's less popular. But if you look at how busy Food and Wine is already, can you imagine that amount of crowding combined with Ratatouille being open, combined with the Skyliner dumping, 3,000 guests an hour at the International Gateway, and combined with Guardians of the Galaxy coming online, combined with the fact that people are staying longer to watch the New Illuminations replacement? It doesn't make sense that they would need to have festivals that were originally designed just to bring in people when they actually finally have attractions.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we're going to be able to go to the Festival of the Arts in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
I think Flower and Garden is for sure going to stay. Food and Wine, for sure. They may scale back Festival of the Holidays again. Mm-hmm. They scaled that up over the last couple of years. The food booths are very similar to Flower and Garden at the moment. Maybe that part of it at least gets scaled back down.
Yeah, I don't think World Showcase needs as much help as it has in years past. But then again, is Ratatouille enough to offset a festival? Or is it going to be, it's got to be in combination with all the Future World stuff, which of course I don't want to jump ahead, but that'll be something that we discuss later.
Well, the Skyliner theoretically is going to push 90% of the people visiting from Pop Century, Art of Animation, Caribbean Beach, Riviera.
Mm-hmm. Big resorts.
Big resorts to the International Gateway. So they're going to start in World Showcase now and not knowing which way to go. Maybe they take a right to start, which puts them through 9 pavilions.
Mm-hmm. And most importantly, Ratatouille right there.
Most importantly, and my beloved Seattle Creepery.
Of course.
And Impressions de France, which definitely is going to be there forever. Definitely going to be alongside Beauty and the Beast, no doubt in my mind. So it'll be interesting. I think they're going to pull, at least Festival of the Arts will not be a thing in 2022, because I don't see any reason for them to do it if it's the whole purpose of it is to bring people in on the weekends, and that's not going to be an issue.
I'm very still stunned that ever since HDTV dropped sponsorship for Flower and Garden, that Flower and Garden is going stronger than ever. I would have thought that would have been the first festival to go away, but now it seems like it's just not going anywhere.
Well, as you may or may not remember, Chase famously dropped their sponsorship of the Food and Wine Festival as well, so...
Mm-hmm.
I don't think these festivals at this point are dependent on a sponsor, perhaps.
No, but then you have Cuties, and then you have Melissa's Produce, and Florida Hospital, Advent Health.
Yes.
Sponsored one of the booths this year. Impossible Food sponsored a booth. So they're sponsorships, but they're still not the whole festival.
Presenting sponsors, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not the Epcot International Food and Wine Festival 2018, sponsored by Chase.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, hey, come to Epcot, we got beer.
I kind of like what Josh said about the fact that we're going to see all these big resorts dumping into International Gateway now. Something that's, what, 2 security checkpoints and 4 tap points, if that, right now? It's got to be expanded, right? If you're getting all these thousands of guests coming from these resorts.
And that's on top of the Crescent Lake resorts that mm-hmm. already... go there. It's already Beach Club, Yacht Club, Swan Dolphin, Boardwalk.
So now you're a lot of rooms.
You're going to have 10 resorts with the vast majority of people, plus people coming from Hollywood Studios, maybe in bigger numbers.
If people ever leave Star Wars Land, right?
If they can get out. Well, they're going to be kicked out of Oga's Canteen. You get 5 steps in, 5 steps out.
Yeah, one picture. One picture, one sip of beer, that's it.
Just long enough to take a picture of each person's drink so you don't actually have to order them.
That's it, yeah.
And then just get out.
That's the dream. But if you have, yeah, and presumably, I mean, if we go back to our Skyliner episode, I think at least 2/3 of us here thought that perhaps the bus service would stop to some of the parks that are serviced by the Disney Skyliner. So if you figure if there's no bus service, then the only place that they can go from these big resorts is International Gateway.
Mm-hmm.
Will that be big enough to service all these resorts? You're looking at not only the Friendships dumping there, but you also have Skyliner dumping there, which at this point, I think it's, even though we were a little bit up in the air on our opinions in the Skyliner episode.
You said up in the air because the Skyliner's up in the air.
You never miss a beat.
very quickly, International Gateway is the entrance and exit in between the France and UK pavilions at Epcot.
Yes. Yeah.
And currently is pretty dead. Like, mm-hmm. if you want to get into Epcot quickly, you go to the International Gateway.
Except on weekends.
At the moment, 90% of the people that enter Epcot are doing so from the main entrance. Mm-hmm. After the Skyliner, mm-hmm. it would probably be closer to 70-30.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to move
in favor 70-30 in favor of the main entrance.
Still yeah. Mm-hmm. But 30%, so they're going to have to expand the International Gateway significantly, and they are mm-hmm. doing that. Not that yeah. there's that much space there to do so.
They're very limited.
It's a narrow
yeah. But area. They do have construction going on there, and they are expanding the bag check and the tap points and all that stuff right now ahead of the Skyliner opening. Presumably, I guess we're still thinking fall, even though I think that it'll probably more than likely be online before Galaxy's Edge.
Although, as we did mention, the Skyliner, if they are already bag checked on the Skyliner, then they're in business.
But I think that that's not going to be the case.
It's not going to be a thing. And they're still going to have to scan their ticket.
As we watch where exactly they're building out International Gateway, and as we watch where exactly they're building out Hollywood Studios,
yeah,
it's becoming more and more apparent that those guests on the Skyliner will not be behind the bag check like you would be on the Magic Kingdom monorail.
They might have their own bag check, though, as you go through the queue at the Skyliner. Maybe one or two people doing.
But then you'd have to have double bag check?
I mean, you need to get bag check before you get on the monorail at this point. They're going to put you up in the air. I don't think they would want it insecure.
You would think not, but after the backlash that they've gotten since they implemented the new procedures on the monorail at the Epcot line, you would imagine that they wouldn't want to have a double bag check on the Skyliner as well.
I want them to do what Universal does, and everybody gets their stuff. It goes through an X-ray machine. Everybody goes through the body scanner. It's not this random 100%. Selection. 100%. Yeah. Everybody, 100%, yeah. No exceptions.
It needs to be that way. And I think we might actually see that at Studios when that opens up.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think that they're building up infrastructure there smartly enough where it's going to be that way. I think Epcot eventually will be that way. And I think that... Animal Kingdom, obviously, we've seen the permits for that to be overhauled as well. So I think that the bag check and the scan will be 100%, kind of like Universal. Magic Kingdom will still be...
Even if I avert my eyes, even if I don't look the security person in the face, in the eyes.
Like you're taking a phone call, zipping up an extra zipper, all the tricks of the trade.
Yeah. Sending mean tweets.
That's it.
How much I hate Disney World. I'm still going to have to go through that.
Yeah. Oh, man. 100%. But that's the way to do it.
All that practice and down
honestly,
the drain.
I'd like to see, right, over the past few years, I'd like to see them move to a bag scanner too, not the people rummaging through your stuff. I think that we've gotten to the point now where that would be secure enough to
do if a bag. If Universal can do X-ray machines, there's no reason why Disney can't.
Yeah, if airports can, why can't Disney?
Oh, they're clunky. They don't look good. Have you seen Universal's entry? It looks great.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
For Universal. Yeah.
Theme it to Simba's mouth, the Animal Kingdom.
Well, they have
or
bag check.
Or feed Pumbaa. Who cares?
They have an X-ray bag check at Disneyland Paris. That works fine.
I mean, so Skyliners can dump more people over there. It's going to be such a tease being dumped so that you can see Ratatouille in front of you across the water. But you still need to go to the left and then enter the park and then go up a hill, across a bridge, down a hill, across a bridge, to the right of the pavilion and all the way back down to the back left. So even getting dropped at International Gateway, it's still going to be a little bit of a trek back through the pavilion. Not that that's a bad thing.
Maybe quickly going back to the bus service, from a touring perspective, it's going to make a tremendous amount of sense to enter from the main entrance for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
If you're going from International Gateway all the way and World Showcase all the way over to that part of Future World, that is an incredible walk. You'll be at an incredible disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're staying at Pop Century, you're not going to want to take the Skyliner to the International Gateway unless you're starting at Ratatouille, which probably doesn't make any sense to start there. So they're either going to have to run bus service, or you're going to be upset and have to take the Uber or something.
Yeah, the minivan.
But I wonder how many people are going to want to take the Skyliner, knowing that if they're at a tremendous touring disadvantage. How many people are going to know that? How many people are going to take that into consideration? Because yeah, you probably don't want to start your day all the way back there. You're at a disadvantage even now to Test Track and to Soarin'.
Or Frozen.
You're a long ways away.
Yeah.
So is this the answer to get people in there for festivals and not attractions? Is Epcot going to be just the end-all, be-all of let's keep tossing things in it until there is so much to do it takes 4 days to do everything in this park?
By adding two things?
A festival every day of the year, every attraction that's currently on the slate, well, plus what's already there.
Unless they bundle all the festivals on top of each other. Maybe then if it's Flower Garden, Food, Wine, Arts, Holidays, every day of the year, maybe it's a 4 day park.
I hate Epcot. I really do.
We can't put that in. You can't say that. You don't hate it. So.
I love this park, but there are so many.
You don't hate it.
It's like whenever I say, "Hey, Brett, what are you doing this afternoon?" "Oh no, we're going out to Epcot just to
you
stroll.
You don't hate Epcot.
To walk around the park and take some pictures, you know, relax."
I hate Epcot. I love Epcot, but I hate this park. I don't know why either, because I never...
Because you don't.
I don't. I never experienced Epcot when it was quote-unquote good in the 80s. But it just seems like there's no winning. It's like, oh, we need to add something into France. We're going to add Ratatouille to France. Perfect. Awesome. Add Ratatouille to France. The rest of the pavilion is still lacking in its lackluster. You have Chefs de France. You have Mazurpal. Both of them are great restaurants, but they are old and outdated. And these locations are going to show their age. Very much the Tomorrowland situation that we talked about on our first episode, right? With the rest of Tomorrowland looking outdated with
it
Tron.
Was so long ago. I've aged 5 years since that episode.
Epcot's aged me 5 years since we started talking right now. Epcot is meant to be this timeless, wonderful location. There's a lot of good in the park. There's a lot of stuff that's timeless. There's a lot of great architecture. But there's a point where it doesn't feel like a
so the old theme park. The old stuff is wrong. The new stuff is wrong.
I think ultimately... we don't have a clear picture of what Epcot's going to look like in 2022. We have an idea of what it's going to look like in 2021. We're going to have a new entertainment, you know, nighttime show. We're going to have Ratatouille. We're going to have Guardians. We'll talk about more of the Future World stuff later. But I think even all the Future World stuff won't be done by 2020. So we don't know what the park's going to look like when it's done, quote unquote.
You're right. And right now we are only seeing what feels like what happened in the 90s where they only redid half the park.
They're only showing some of their hand. And until we get the full picture, I think that it's okay to be skeptical because we don't know what Epcot's going to look like in a decade when it's quote unquote done or whenever their, you know, 2020s refresh is done.
There is a lot of new stuff coming to World Showcase.
Yeah.
And who knows with this year, the D23 Expo is in August in Anaheim.
Yeah, August.
And quite honestly, there's been a few announcements on the Disney Parks blog with last year and stuff, but they've been relatively quiet about any potential future announcements or anything going on. It feels like 2021 is kind of like the end for all these upcoming construction projects with Disney. Of course, they said that Epcot will not be done. They've revealed this great concept piece for the new spine of Epcot going up Future World. And this is only the beginning of what they have planned. So there's more plans down the pike that we just don't know about. So it's interesting to see that, you know, yes, in time for the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World in 2021, this is our idea of what Epcot's going to look like. But that's not going to be the end result. And at that point, it's only going to feel like that mid-90s where they refurbished half of it and left half it to rot. I think they're going to go full on this, though. It's going to not stop midway. It's going to keep going after that. But they've only announced so much so far.
It's the new Disney Springs.
You think?
Well, Disney Springs, they worked on part of it, and then that finished, and like, oh, right, we're going to do the west side now. So maybe that's what we're going to see with Epcot. But even from what they've announced, at least with World Showcase, with the new films, we got 3 new films coming. That's positive. New restaurant coming. More hard to argue against, more options. Even if Mike thinks more options is what's killing Epcot. It's one opinion.
More dining options?
It's just what's killing Epcot. More choice. Hate choice here. The new Illuminations, the Skyliner. It's all good stuff.
Yeah. That's exhausting. It's very exhausting. And I know that they keep saying that their plans for Epcot are these gigantic out of this world ideas. But even now with what they've announced, it doesn't feel like a full concept. It feels like they're only going halfway. Mike said they're only showing half their hand. Show the full hand.
There's a difference between them just not telling you what they're going to do yet and not having a plan. Those are two different things.
Have you played the game Red Dead Redemption 2?
No.
They feel, for the 8 people who listen to the podcast who have played, right, it feels like they're Dutch Vanderlyn. I got a plan. I have a plan. Have some faith. That's what they keep saying. Have faith in us. We're going to fix Epcot. It's going to be great. We have a plan. Who knows if they have a plan? They have something. They have Guardians. They have Ratatouille. They have all the Fox IPs now. I think The Simpsons would go great in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
A Quickie Mart in the American Adventure Pavilion. I mean, this is all logical stuff. If you're listening, Disney, you can use these ideas. I will forget. I'll delete this podcast right now. You announce a Quickie Mart tomorrow. We'll go ahead and delete this so that you have full control over all that. I won't even ask for royalties.
Bob's Burgers and American Dad. American Dad serving burgers at Bob's Burgers in the U.S. Pavilion next to the Quickie Mart.
Why aren't we millionaires?
Oh, so some of us are.
That would be amazing. An American Dad Bob Burgers mashup?
Yeah.
Selling, take over Liberty Inn. Done. In the Quick Service in America adventure.
Done. Armchair Imagineering, new podcast name.
Never been thought of.
I like the idea. That works. Who doesn't love Bob Burgers? Who doesn't love American Dad?
All right. So Epcot Forever. A scale of 1 to 10, how good do you think it's going to be? No scale necessary.
9, with no scale necessary.
So Epcot Forever, you think is going to be a solid show?
The only
show.
Reason it's not a 10 is because it's not staying around forever. Yeah, I think it's going to be really good. I think it's going to be. There's a reason why all this musical scores and stuff like that worked from these older pavilions. There's a reason why. There are people that long for old Epcot, right? Original Epcot. There's a reason why these people, why it worked. And I think that's because it was actually truly great. And for them to build an entire show around it, I don't see how this show can go wrong. Plus jet skis.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody loves a good jet ski.
Mm-hmm.
So
hard to beat a kite.
That's right. And so I think that it's going to be great. And I think that it's going to be interesting. I think it'll be more interesting not to see the reaction of the guests for Epcot Forever. It'll be more interesting to see the reaction for the guests for the next show, knowing that the people who have experienced Epcot Forever, I think that it'll be a great show, something that people will really enjoy. And then the contrast between what is Epcot Forever, a celebration and a eulogy to Epcot, and then all of a sudden you've got Moana and Pocahontas on water screens, which is probably something that we should have been seeing during Rivers of Light anyways.
Don't you dare mention Rivers of Light on this podcast.
But I think that's going to be a really enjoyable show. And I think that it's going to really play well to not only our listenership, but I think to the guests in general.
How long of a run? A year?
I think that it'll be...
Exactly a year.
Probably exactly a year. Yeah, it's a fiscal end to the year. It's a natural birthday for Epcot. It makes sense that it'll be a... October 1st to September 30th. October 1st, 2019 to September 30th, 2020 idea.
What do you got for me, Brett? 1 to 10, no number necessary.
I don't care. I like old Epcot music, don't get me wrong. I have a love-hate relationship with Illumination's Reflection to Birth. I've seen the show, I think I've said over 500 times before. I've seen it a ridiculous amount of times.
But you don't care.
I don't.
You just don't have a lot going on.
I have a lot more emotion in losing Illuminations than I do in getting a new show. Kind of like that night when we lost Wishes. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I felt way more for Wishes than I do for Illuminations.
We'll see.
I don't...
Wishes was rough that night because...
Well, they brought back all the good pyro that they had been missing for a year before then.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in that... That was the best show ever of Wishes, yeah. Next to the 40th anniversary when they had the perimeter for the Blue Fairy queue.
Yeah.
That was a good show. But I'm not sure if our viewers or listeners know this, but in Disney World, we have the blessing of the college program. And on that evening, every single college program attendee stormed the hub for the last showing of Wishes. And nobody left the hub after walkout music. Everybody stood there for walkout music and sung along, and it was amazing. And then we went back there the next night for Happily Ever After and also, you know, stood through the amazing show. Illuminations World Showcase is going to be deadlocked that day. September 30th is going to be hell on earth in that park.
But on the plus side, September was the hottest month of the year last year. But September 30th is the furthest away from September 1st. So it's only going to be 140 degrees.
Perfect.
You got that going for you.
And hopefully there'll be a lot of people still stuck trying to find out how to get out of Galaxy's Edge.
Exactly. The part that
a month later.
you're still going to be stuck there whether you want to see Epcot Forever or not.
You got a front row seat.
Am I going to be able to ride the Skyliner during that show? They're not going to shut it down, of course. Right? So that's going to be kind of cool, being able to ride through into International Gateway with the show going off.
Or leaving, like, and putting that in your rearview mirror. A kite
knocking your gondola side down. I don't know. I said in the last podcast that I thought that Disney had done a nice job with all the restaurants, but I think you could say the opposite about their most recent spectaculars, perhaps with the exception of Happily Ever After.
Okay, yeah.
Because Rivers of Light, arguably a huge letdown. Galactic Spectacular takes a step down every single change they make to it.
Yeah, it's true.
Disney Movie Magic is incredibly forgettable. Forgettable.
It's a good show, but it's forgettable.
Just because we stood there for 3 hours on the first day, hand in hand.
It's true.
The first day we bonded.
But it's better than Galactic Spectacular.
That's... Whether or not you believe that, that's very bad news.
Doctor Strange is in Movie Magic.
So I don't think Epcot Forever was ever in the cards. I think Disney Parks blog announced a new show is coming too soon. They didn't have the new show, so they thought we already have some music.
We already have
the barges. We can just kind of rearrange the show a little bit.
I think Josh is right.
Because we're not ready. We don't have anything.
I'll say, okay, then I'll play the opposite side of that and say that they absolutely always had to have Epcot Forever or an interim show. The fact that they made it Epcot Forever is smart, but I think that they always had to have an interim show because the infrastructure for Illuminations that needed to be changed over to the permanent solution in 2020... They couldn't do a one day, it's there, the next day we have a new show because of all the infrastructure work that they would have to change between Illuminations and permanent solution, whatever we want to call that.
So we're thinking Epcot Forever is going to use the infrastructure that the permanent show is going to use, because otherwise they could just keep showing Illuminations, keep working on the infrastructure, and do the same one-day changeover they're already going to be doing.
It's possible that they might need to remove some Illuminations infrastructure for the permanent solution, and Epcot Forever, instead of using the infrastructure that Illuminations use, Epcot Forever's solution is to do kites.
Yeah. Hard to argue against kites.
Again, a great argument for kites. Always.
Yeah. You know, I'm a big kite lobby guy.
Yeah.
We're funded by the kite lobby. So I'm all in on Epcot Forever. Forget what I said.
Yeah. 10 out of 10. Isn't that where your stock is?
10 out of 10. No number necessary.
No, yeah. But I truly believe that kites are being used as a as another interim element while some infrastructure is taken apart and changed over.
Soon to be drones.
Soon to be drones, whatever the case may be. Yeah, I think we see drones at Epcot in 2020, yeah.
But it'll certainly be a show worth seeing, even if it is maybe not the next generation show. I think it'll certainly be worth staying for. I don't think it's, and maybe you're, when you say it's a nine, maybe you don't think it's envelope pushing either. It'll probably be a pleasant show. I don't expect a big deviation. Is the globe going to be part of it?
I don't think so. I don't. Do you remember seeing the globe in any of the concept art?
I don't believe so. I think that the globe will probably make a triumphant return with whatever.
Don't say that.
I think that
unless you're jinxing it.
I think that they will probably scrap the globe and put it into a collectible pin set over the course of 12 months.
Right. I'd buy that.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know what the future holds for this show. I don't think it's going to be anything that's groundbreaking, spectacular. It might be a lot of testing of technology for a more to the permanent show that's afterwards. Or it could just be we're going to have some fun, finally, and bring some fun to Epcot instead of being such a serious topic about worlds and cultures and it's a small world, the theme park.
Well, it gives you another reason to visit Epcot. That's probably only a good thing.
Yeah. A reason to visit. Why wait to visit Epcot until Ratatouille opens? Until Guardians opens? Why not visit now?
It's another festival is what you're saying. Another stopgap. A half measure.
That's what it is. Well, it's going to be another, why would I go to Galaxy's Edge when I can go see this show that's only going to be here for a year when Galaxy's Edge hasn't even opened Rise of the Resistance yet?
Nobody is going to say that. But yeah.
The one gentleman out there who was went to Turf Club, if you'd like to say that and agree with me, it'd be much appreciated.
He's right there. Like, absolutely, I'm not going to studios until Rise of the Resistance.
I'm
going to
sit here and eat my shredded chicken buffalo dip.
If I can't go 8 steps in Oga's Canteen, I'm not taking any. I'm a 2-sip of beer guy. We salute you, Bill.
I'm concerned about the future of Epcot, but I think I'm more concerned about Future World than I am World Showcase, which is next episode.
Next episode, we'll talk about it.
I wouldn't say it's something to look forward to, but
no.
It's something.
It's something.
In the future, which is something you can't say about Future World. Until it happens, and then it is like Future World. It just gets older and staler every day. I'm Josh, EZWW.com.
Brett Schmoofy on Twitter, signing off for the day.
And Mike with BlogMickey.com.
Thanks for listening. Have a great day.